All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be jumping headfirst into a case that really throws into sharp relief just how much further state constitutions can actually go in terms of protecting individual rights compared to, you know, the federal Bill of Rights.
Exactly.
And this is especially true when we look at the right to counsel during police interrogation.
Absolutely.
We're talking about Commonwealth v. Mavrodakis, a Massachusetts case cited back in 2000. So if you're a law student out there wrestling with criminal procedure, this is definitely one for your notes.
It is, yeah. And it's a really fascinating illustration of that concept of federalism that we hear so much about.
Right.
Where state constitutions, like the Massachusetts Declaration of Rights, can actually go above and beyond, so to speak, the baseline protections set by the Fifth Amendment at the federal level.
Exactly.
And in this case, the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts actually used that phrase, broader safeguards.
Okay. So let's set the scene a little bit.
Sure.
This case, it comes out of a really tragic felony murder that happened during a robbery at a KFC.
Right.
But the legal issues, they really revolve around what happened after the arrest during the interrogation.
Exactly. Yeah.
The big turning point, the thing that made this whole case go to the SJC, was the fact that the police, they allegedly didn't tell Mavrodakis that a lawyer hired by his family was trying to get in touch with him.
Right. And that was the sticking point.
Yeah.
And reports indicate that that wasn't just an oversight, but actually might have been a kind of a matter of police policy at the time.
Yeah.
It makes you kind of wonder what the reasoning behind that might have been.
Right, right. So just to go back to the facts of the case, back in 2000, we have Mavrodakis, along with his brother John and their friend Carlos Siniscalchi. They come up with this plan to break into this KFC where John used to work.
Mm-hmm.
And their goal, it seems, was to steal cash.
Right.
But, you know, as often happens, this plan went terribly wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Shift supervisor, a guy named Thomas Henson, he shows up unexpectedly, and tragically, he's shot and killed during the robbery.
And, of course, they do end up taking about $1,000.
Right. So Mavrodakis, he ends up getting arrested, brought in for questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And while all this is going down, his family, they've actually hired a lawyer who is trying hard to get in touch with him, calling the police station, trying to connect and offer legal assistance, you know, like a lawyer does.
Absolutely.
But here's the crux of the issue. The police, according to the record, they never told Mavrodakis about any of this.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself in that situation for a second. You're in custody, being questioned about a really serious crime, you know, a felony murder, and all the while, unbeknownst to you, there's a lawyer out there trying to reach you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just raises huge questions about whether any choices you make in that interrogation room, could they really be considered, like, fully informed?
It definitely raises questions about whether a waiver of Miranda rights, you know, the right to remain silent, the right to counsel, was it really knowing and voluntary?
Right, yeah.
If the suspect didn't even know that counsel was trying to reach them.
Exactly. And that's what Mavrodakis argued when he appealed his conviction.
Right.
He said, look, my Miranda waiver, it shouldn't be valid. I couldn't have made a truly knowing and intelligent decision because I wasn't even aware that a lawyer was trying to help me.
Yeah.
That's the heart of it.
And that really throws into question, you know, what does Article 12 of the Massachusetts Declaration of Rights require?
Mm.
Does it actually mandate that the police have to tell a suspect, hey, there's a lawyer who's been retained and who's trying to reach you?
Right.
And that's where we start seeing the potential for these broader safeguards, you know? Going beyond maybe what's explicit in the Fifth Amendment regarding Miranda rights at the federal level.
So at the trial court level, the judge initially didn't buy this argument. They denied the motion to suppress Mavrodakis' confession.
Which, just to clarify, means they didn't agree to exclude that confession from being used as evidence.
Exactly. But Mavrodakis and his lawyers, they didn't stop there. They took the case to the SJC, the highest court in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And this is where things get really interesting.
This is where the landscape really shifts.
Yeah. Because the SJC, they take a really close look at Article 12, and their reasoning in this case, it's huge.
It's a landmark decision for sure.
They explicitly state that Article 12, in their view, offers broader safeguards than what the Fifth Amendment provides when it comes to the right against self-incrimination and the right to counsel.
Right.
And they were very clear about this. They said that for someone to truly waive their Miranda rights in a knowing and intelligent way, they absolutely have to know that a lawyer is trying to reach them.
Absolutely, because how can you knowingly decline counsel if you don't even know that counsel is being offered?
Right. And there's this really powerful statement from the SJC about their perspective on the role of a lawyer in this whole situation.
Yeah. Oh, this is the part that always gets quoted.
Yeah. They basically said that they prefer to see a lawyer, and this is a direct quote, not as a nettlesome obstacle to the pursuit of wrongdoers, but as, quote, an aid to the understanding and protection of constitutional rights.
Yeah.
That's a really big statement.
It is. I mean, do you think this marked a shift in how the court was viewing defense attorneys?
It seems like it, right?
Yeah.
It's like they were pushing back against that old idea that, you know, defense lawyers are just trying to throw a wrench in the works.
Yeah.
And instead, they're saying, no, they're an integral part of ensuring fairness and protecting people's rights.
Yeah.
And so out of all this came this new rule.
Yeah.
Established by the Mavrodakis decision.
Right, right. And this new rule, it had some teeth. It had some real impact.
Yeah.
The SJC, they said, okay, from now on, if a lawyer reaches out to the police on behalf of a suspect during interrogation, the police have to immediately stop questioning that suspect. They have to tell the suspect, look, a lawyer has contacted us about you. They want to talk to you. You have a right to speak with them.
And if they don't?
If they don't, that's where suppression of evidence comes in.
Okay.
The court said very clearly, if the police don't inform the suspect about the lawyer and they keep questioning, anything the suspect says after that point where the lawyer tried to reach them, it's not admissible in court.
Wow. So this new rule, it had an immediate impact on Mavrodakis' own case.
It did.
The SJC ruled that anything he said to the police after his lawyer tried to reach him, all of that had to be thrown out.
Exactly.
That meant his conviction was vacated and they ordered a new trial.
Now, to be clear, they weren't suppressing all the evidence related to the crime.
Right.
It was specifically about those statements made after the attorney's call.
Yeah, yeah.
Things related to the armed robbery itself, that evidence wasn't just automatically excluded.
Got it. So they were really targeting the violation of that right to counsel during that specific window of time.
Exactly.
So they could still try Mavrodakis again on the felony murder charge, potentially, if they had other evidence about the robbery.
Right. It was about ensuring fairness in the interrogation process itself.
So Mavrodakis, it obviously had a huge impact on legal procedures here in Massachusetts.
It did.
Police departments had to revise their whole approach to interrogation to make sure that they were in line with this new rule about informing suspects about their lawyer.
And it really underscored that principle of federalism.
Yeah.
That states have the power to interpret their own constitutions, to offer even greater protection than the federal floor, so to speak.
So, I mean, for law students out there, this is just such a classic case to study, right? It's a perfect example of state courts acting as that independent check on the system.
Yeah. It shows they aren't just rubber stamping federal decisions.
Right. They're engaging with their own state constitutions and sometimes setting a higher bar for individual rights. Okay, so just to recap the key takeaway here. Under Article 12 of the Massachusetts Declaration of Rights, police have an absolute obligation to tell a suspect if a lawyer tries to contact them during an interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
If they fail to do so, any Miranda waiver the suspect makes after that point is considered invalid, and anything they say could be tossed out in court.
Exactly. And in Mavrodakis' case, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
It led to his conviction being reversed, a new trial ordered, and a new standard for custodial interrogations here in Massachusetts.
Makes you wonder how many other cases might have been decided differently if this rule had been in place earlier.
I know. It's food for thought.
Yeah.
It makes you think about the ongoing evolution of legal protections.
Exactly. Right?
And how crucial state constitutional law is in safeguarding those individual rights. I mean, I bet there are tons of similar cases in other states that have reshaped the legal landscape in their own unique ways.
Definitely worth exploring.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for diving deep into Mavrodakis with us today. It's cases like this that really help us understand how intricate and sometimes surprising the legal world can be.
It really is.
Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp, folks.
And keep exploring.
We'll see you in the next deep dive.
Yeah.